So there's been a lot of conversation over the years about Black men, and I'm not going to even say over the years, I'm going to say over generations, about how in America, Black men are guilty until proven innocent. And for most people who don't know, you're innocent until proven guilty. That is supposed to be the law of the land. That is supposed to be how things work in America, allegedly. Most people know that over the last 400 years since Black people were brought to this country, that has not been the case for us. There have been a lot of times where Black people have been accused of things and pretty much have been discarded or put up cast away without even a trial. When you go back to lynchings and you talk about Jim Crow laws and different things like that, how those laws were intentionally created so that Black people would have criminal records and different things like that. And so there was a time where you could get a criminal record for you could end up with a criminal record for things like sitting on the wrong seat on the bus, or drinking from the wrong water fountain, or sitting at the wrong counter. You know, those things would land you with a criminal record. And in a lot of states like Mississippi and places like that, you would end up with that criminal record, and that record would be used against you when you, if you ever ended up in a case that was more major. And so, when we're talking about innocent until proven guilty, we're talking about a country that has never respected Black people enough for us to have that luxury and that privilege. You talk about people like the case of George Zimmerman when it came down to Trayvon Martin. You had so many white people out here who were like, oh, well, let's see. No, let's not jump to conclusions. Oh, let's see what actually happened. Let's see what the evidence is gonna say. Let's see what the trial is gonna bring out, and all of these different things. When we had a Black person saying, he did this to us. He did this to me. You had a family saying, this man murdered our son. And I'm confused by that because, and I that kind of wasn't a good example, but I hope that people kind of understand what I'm trying to say when it comes down to that. But I feel like this country has a history of not believing Black people, not believing Black women, not believing Black men. And so it's always ironic to me when when it's flipped over on the opposite side and people are quick to believe the white people. A white woman can shed a few tears, a Karen can shed a few tears, and all of a sudden we believe everything she's saying. But if a Black woman sheds legitimate tears, we got a question. You have this thing with Nikki Haley, who's now running for president in the Republican primary. She recently did a speech where she talked about how this country isn't racist. And I posted about it on Twitter. I said it on Twitter. And I said, it's crazy to me how in 2023, it is an absolute joke to me that in 2023, we have non-Black people telling Black people that this country isn't racist. How can you speak for Black people? Now, being Black is not a monolith. Obviously, not all Black people feel the same, but a good ma a majority of Black people feel that this country is a racist country, regardless of what Kamala Harris says, regardless of what Joe Biden says, Obama, any of those people who managed to get to those positions. Obviously, they are going to have those views on this country because they managed to get to that position. But you still have a good amount of Black people who are living in poverty, generational poverty at that. And we're talking poverty that has been handed down throughout the generation. We're talking about families that have never experienced wealth. We're just talking about in 2023, where we still have families where you have the first of the family graduating college in a lot of families. And this is 2023. In 2023, you have several Black families where it's like, this is my first year grad. I'm the first person in my family to get a degree. And so, yes, people who get into those positions are going to feel like this country isn't racist because they've made it to the promised land that Dr. King was referring to. They made it. But there are a lot of us who haven't made it. And I kind of veered off topic a little bit, but I'm going to wrap it all around to what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to speak on, which is, like I said, innocent until proven guilty. But in the case of this podcast, I'm referring to guilty until proven innocent. Because there's this case I want to talk about. The case is out of Columbus, Ohio. Pretty much, there were two Ohio State players who had they had sex with this young lady back in 2019 or 2020, if I'm not mistaken. And pretty much, the young lady accused them of rape. Now, it gets interesting. You know, that was in 2020. So we know how things have evolved over the last, I'll say, 5 years or so, 5, 6, 7 years or so, where we have an uptick in the Me Too movement, where we have an uptick in people believing women, which I agree with. Me personally, I'm the type of person. And before I go into this, what I'm about to say, let me preface this so I'll say this on the forefront. I am not one of those people who don't believe women. However, I am one of those people who believe that we should allow for investigation. We should allow for people to exonerate themselves. And a lot of the issue, and I don't believe in cancel culture. I don't believe that cancel culture is a thing. I believe in holding people accountable. Now, if that means that if people want to call it cancel or a cancel culture, then that you're entitled to that. But me personally, I believe that this is an age of accountability. People are no longer accepting anything. People are holding people accountable for their actions. And so with that being said, when it comes down to things like being held accountable and cancel culture and all of those things, like I said, with the Me Too movement and all of that, and believing women, there's also a level of, like I said, allowing people to exonerate themselves. See, I can believe a woman, but that woman could also be lying. And see, there have been cases of women who have lied. Men too. Just look at, for instance, Jesse Smollett. We're talking about Jesse Smollett, a man who came out and made all these accusations about these men attacking him, being homophobic, and it was a racial attack and all of these things. Then turned out it was some men that he paid. And we all believed him. And in this particular case, the reason why it is so interesting and the reason why I felt like it was appropriate for me to talk about it, we're talking about these young men, and pretty much these young men, I haven't really paid too much attention to the story, but from the little bit that I have read and I have looked at, pretty much these young men, when they were getting ready to have sex with the young lady, they recorded her giving them consent to have sex. And they recorded it based on the fact that someone who they were at the time, they were football players at Ohio State. I already mentioned that. And pretty much they were told by one of the coaches, if I'm not mistaken, from what I read, to, if they want to be having sex or anything like that, to get consent and get it in the form of writing or on video or any or something like that. That way, if you're ever accused, you have something for you that will exonerate you. And it worked out in these young men's favor, because last week an Ohio jury found them not guilty. Now, the two men, their names here are Amir Wright and Jocelyn Wynn. Pretty much, it was a case, in my opinion. And like I said, I believe women. I give women the benefit of the doubt that they aren't lying most of the time. But I also believe that men should be allowed to exonerate themselves. Pretty much the argument in this case was that they had consensual sex and that the woman regretted it afterwards, pretty much. They were accused of kidnapping, all types of things. And if they had been convicted, they would have served more than up to 30 years in prison and would have been registered sex offenders for the rest of their lives. And that's just the fact of if they were found guilty. Now, let's talk about them being found not guilty. You heard me at the beginning say that they were football players at Ohio State at the time. These men were suspended from the school. I read in an article that one of the young men was unable to complete school because he couldn't attend classes because of the suspension. And because he couldn't complete his class at Ohio State, he couldn't transfer anywhere else because he was a senior at that point. He had made it to his last few semesters. And he couldn't finish his courses. And so he ended up over the last 2 or 3 years waiting for this trial to exonerate himself. Couldn't even complete school. Couldn't even finish school because of these allegations. Now, that's just a little bit of why I wanted to talk about this. And like I said, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is to discuss why we need to stop assuming that people are guilty before we allow them the opportunity to exonerate themselves. Now, it's a difference if the evidence is just overwhelming. I mean, when we're talking about the Brooks trial with the Waukesha Christmas parade, the evidence was overwhelming. The evidence was overwhelming that it was him. The evidence is overwhelming that he is the one who did it. So honestly, he should just plead guilty. But when you're looking at a case like this, an allegation of rape and kidnapping, and you have a situation of, in the beginning, it's a situation of she said this and they said that. But then you have evidence come along with them where she is consenting to the sex. And it still goes to trial. And you have some people out there who, even though these young men have been acquitted in the court of law, they have been exonerated, proven to be not guilty. You still have some in this country, some around the world, who will still say that these young men are guilty of what they have been accused of. Even with the video evidence that was put out in the case that this young lady did consent to having sex with those men, you are still, I need to go back real quick. When she accused them, and she in the court trial, she said that the reason why she allowed them to video her and gave consent is because she felt like that was the only way she would be allowed to leave. But however, neither one of them put a gun up to her head. Neither one of them threatened her. Neither one of them forcefully told her she had to do it. But she did it. And so, continuing on, I just wanted to put that in there. Like I said, just from looking at what I saw from the case. And I personally just feel like, and now that I'm kind of gonna try to round this up and finish it out. But I just personally feel like we're at a point in time where we need to start allowing people to have the benefit of the doubt. Unless, like I said, the evidence is just overwhelming. When you have a situation of a mass shooter and everybody knows that he's the one did it or she's the one who did it, and the evidence is just overwhelming, then yes, go ahead. Do what you need to do. Counsel them if you want to counsel them. If that's what people want to do as far as counsel culture and all of that. But these young men's lives were completely ruined of an allegation that they have now exonerated themselves of. They were accused in the public opinion, pretty much swayed that they were guilty. They lost their scholarships. They lost their access to NIL. They lost their access to an education. The most important thing for Black people is an education. They lost their access to it. Now, they've been exonerated, so they'll get all of those things back. They'll get the opportunity to probably, more than likely, they'll end up getting the opportunity to be able to go play sports again. I'm pretty sure they still have some eligibility. As far as it go, when it comes to the NCAA, I'm pretty sure they'll probably still have some type of form of opportunities to be able to play sports, or at least go into coaching or different things like that. They'll probably still have those opportunities. But it won't be the same as they had before all of this. They were on a course, both men were on a course to more than likely ending up in the NFL, being able to lift their families into a new era, a new age of generational wealth, able to make wealth, make money, and lift their families up out of poverty. Get an education, get a degree. All of that uprooted by the allegation. Now, almost 3 years later, these young men have to figure out their lives again. And yes, to the young lady, I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. In this case, I have no sympathy. Because you knew you consented. You knew that you willingly consented, and whether you want to say you didn't enjoy the sex, or whether you want to say that, you know, it was a little rough and you didn't like it rough like that, or whatever you want to try to say, at the end of the day, you consented to it. And at any point throughout the act of it, you could have gotten up and said, you could have left. You can try to spew I was afraid and all this other stuff. You can try to spew that, but at the end of the day, neither one of these young men held you against your will. That has been proven. Now, I'm not saying the criminal justice system is fair. But in cases like these, where you have overwhelming evidence against the people who are accusing you, you have video of this young lady consenting. Like, come on now. A case like that, it shouldn't even went to a trial. But in a lot of these cases, you have overzealous prosecutors who feel like they just got to get a win by any means necessary. And so they'll take any case they can to court. Most of the time, they take cases against black men because they assume that the system is going to work in their favor because it's a black man. In this case, it was two young black men, two educated black men who were on the course to having a spectacular life ahead of them. Now they have to start all of that over. And so my message to people, and the reason why I wanted to have this episode, is to stop judging people before we know the facts. Stop judging people in general. But we have to allow people the opportunity to exonerate themselves. We shouldn't expect somebody to have to resign from their job just because somebody accused them of something. Allow the process to go through. If they allow the process to go through, and then at the end of the process, they end up to be found guilty of what they have said they have done, then yes, strip them of their positions. Take their money. Do all of that. But let's not ruin people's lives over allegations, no matter how serious the allegation may be. Because at the end of the day, we live in a country where the laws and the Constitution are supposed to be that you are innocent until proven guilty, and not guilty until proven innocent. And so with that, I'm going to end this special episode of the Undisputed Politics with your boy Robert Wilson. Thank you guys again for tuning in to the podcast. And as always, continue to like, subscribe, follow, whatever you want to do on all platforms where you listen to your favorite podcast, as well as on all social media platforms. Thank you guys again, and we're out.